It is made out of what is called degenerate matter or super dense matter, where the atoms are pressed together and the electrons squashed. This matter is so heavy that it cannot be thought of in any familiar terms. There is nothing in our solar system, to our knowledge, comparable to this stuff. But physicists have considered it theoretically, and in this century, we're making finally some progress toward understanding it. It is even claimed by some astronomers that the Sirius system has a Sirius C, or a third star. Fox claimed to see it in 1920, and in 1926, 28, and 29, it was supposedly seen by Van den Bosch, Finsen, and others at the Union Observatory. Then for several years, when it should have been seen, it was not. Zager and Bollett, famous astronomers, said it was there because there were wobbles that pointed to it. So perhaps it is there, perhaps it isn't. Nobody's ever settled it for sure, except the Dogon say it is. Those doggone people say it's there. They've even drawn graphs. They have graphs. They drew pictures of it. Here, for example, here is the actual orbit of Sirius B. And in this elliptical orbit, you have two foci. Those who know anything about these circular foci, you have two foci in that kind of orbit. Here and here. Here is a drawing of the orbit of Sirius. This is a drawing by these primitive Dogons. Here's Sirius, exactly where it's shown here in the more scientific drawing. And here is the orbit of the invisible star that takes 50 years. These primitive savages that had to be rescued from the dark, primitive, evolutionary, two steps beyond a tadpole and a monkey stage. Seeing a star that nobody can see before anybody knew it was there, telling you it's little and heavy and has a 50-year orbit that's elliptical like this and goes around Sirius and has its own axis. How do they know that? And they say there's another one. Scientists haven't found it yet. I like these people. They're smart. I like smart people. The most recent full study of the Sirius system by an astronomer has been carried out by Irving W. Oh, I didn't finish my footnote. A matchbox full of matter from the star would weigh a ton and a quarter. A matchbox full taken from the star's core would weigh approximately 50 tons. The star is 65,000 times denser than water, whereas our own sun has a density about equal to that of water. The most recent full study of Sirius system by an astronomer has been carried out by Irving W. Lindenblad of the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. He and I have corresponded. He has sent me his publications. The latest appeared in 73, and also the photograph in Plate 1, which was taken by him in 1970 after several years' preparation, and is the first photograph ever taken of the star Sirius B, which in the photograph is a tiny spot of light near the main star Sirius A, which is 10,000 times brighter. I'll show it to you again. The first photograph ever taken is Sirius B, which is the tiny dot to the lower right of the large star. Sirius is the large one. Lindenblad's accomplishment in getting a successful photograph is amazing. He has studied the Sirius system for 7 years and found no evidence of a third star, Sirius C. But the Dogons say it's there, and some astronomers say they've seen it. Now we see that the Sirius system is rather interesting and complicated. Only in this century have we advanced towards knowing about degenerate matter and understanding white dwarfs through our researches into nuclear physics. So we would be surprised, would we not, if someone without our modern science had known as much about the Sirius system as we do. Those doggone people do. Crazy. Now, the peoples of sub-Saharan Africa are the source of our first arresting information. He starts out deciding to solve this problem. The particular people are called the Dogon. They live in the present state of Mali. The nearest cities to them are Timbuktu, Bamako, and Ouagadougou in Upper Volta. Initial research for me on the Dogon turned up an article in an anthropological journal by the French anthropologist already mentioned. The article was written in French. An English translation of it is published for the first time in this book. When I first read the article, which is entitled A Sudanese Syrian System, I could hardly believe what I saw. For here was an anthropological report of four tribes, the Dogon and three related ones, who held as their most secret religious tradition a body of knowledge concerning the system of the star Sirius, including specific information about that star system, which it should be impossible for any primitive tribe to know. The Dogon consider that the most important star in the sky is Sirius B, which cannot be seen. They admit that it's invisible. How did they discover it in the first place? How then do they know it exists? The two anthropologists say, quote, "The problem of knowing how, with no instruments at their disposal, men could know the movements and certain characteristics of virtually invisible stars has not been settled nor even posed." Virtually invisible. It is invisible. Now, the anthropologists make it clear in their article that the large and bright star of Sirius is not as important to the Dogon as the tiny Sirius B, the invisible one, which the Dogon call Potolo. Tolo meaning star. Po is a cereal grain commonly called Ponio in West Africa, whose official botanical name is Digitarius exilis. In speaking of the Po star, the anthropologists call it the star Digitaria or simply Digitaria. Now, what is significant about the Po grain is that it's the smallest grain known to the Dogon, extremely minute, and unknown as food in Europe or America. To the Dogon, this tiny grain represents the tiny star, and that's why the star is called Po, after the grain. It's so small. Now, in this article by the French anthropologist, we read, quote, "Sirius, however, is not the basis of the system. It is one of the foci of the orbit of a tiny star called Digitaria, Potolo, which hogs the attention of the male initiates in their religious system." Now, the casual reader may not notice how unusual it is for an African tribe to put it quite this way, but the orbit of Digitaria, which the Dogon elsewhere describe as egg-shaped or elliptical, is specifically described by them as having the main star Sirius as one of the foci of its orbits. Now, of course, the technical term focus has been supplied by the anthropologists, but they were faithfully rendering the meaning of what the Dogon said in their own language. And what the Dogon were saying, which they also make quite clear graphically in their drawings, is that the orbit of Sirius B around Sirius A is of a kind which obeys one of Kepler's laws of planetary motion, extended to other orbiting bodies. It was Johannes Kepler, 1571 to 1630, who first proposed that heavenly bodies do not move in perfect circular paths. He hit upon the brilliant insight that the planets and their motions around the sun were moving in elliptically shaped orbits, with the sun at one of the two foci of each ellipse. Most people I speak to have no idea that the planets don't go in circles around the sun. Even if they were taught the truth at school, they've long since forgotten about it. And many people honestly don't know what an ellipse is unless you show them one. Here it is. An ellipse is a kind of stretched circle. You can conceive of grabbing the center of a circle and ripping the center into two pieces and then pulling those two portions away from each other. This would naturally make the circle flatten at the top and bottom and bulge at the two sides, and the two pieces of the center would fall along a straight line joining the two most distant points. These two fragments of center each then have the name focus, and the two together are the foci of the ellipse. Foci 1 is pictured here, foci 2 is pictured there. If you get your hands on that ellipse and push at the bulging ends, you might force it back together again, make it a proper circle. Now, what I ask all the readers to take note of is this. How did the Dogon tribe, who had no access to the theories of Kepler or his successors, know about matters like this? How did they even get the idea in the first place that elliptical orbits existed rather than circular, much less apply this idea to some invisible star way out in space? And also to get it right by saying that Sirius A was at one of the foci rather than just somewhere in the ellipse and not at the center. How did they know Sirius was at a foci and not in the middle of the orbit? Wouldn't the natural primitive idea seem to be, even if you wanted to say the orbit was elliptical, still to have Sirius itself at the center? But no, they knew too much to make a mistake like that. For the whole point about Kepler's law is that not only are the orbits ellipses, but the sun must always be at one of the foci, otherwise nothing will work. Now, in order to know about all this, you need not have had Kepler. Elliptical orbits are a universal truth, as true here as they are on the other side of the galaxy or even in some other galaxy. Kepler merely discovered a natural principle. He didn't invent it. So there was no need for Dogon to know about Kepler personally. All that is required is an explanation of how they could have learned the universal principle from any other source. Considering they exist on this planet, and we didn't know of anyone else on this planet living in Africa who discovered these things. They knew it before Kepler knew it, and yet Kepler got the credit. This fascinates me. The Dogon also knew the actual orbit of this invisible star, which is 50 years. You bored? You sleepy? Yeah. Referring to the sacred Sigui ceremony of the tribe, Dieterlin and Grial tell us the period of the orbit is counted double, that is, 100 years, because the Siguis are convened in pairs of twins so as to insist on the principle of twinness. The Dogon also say that Sirius B rotates on its axes, demonstrating that they know a star can do such a thing. The Dogon describes Sirius B as infinitely tiny. And as already said, Sirius B, we now know, is a white dwarf and the tiniest form of visible star in the universe. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this, quote, "The star which is considered to be the smallest thing in the sky is also the heaviest." They couldn't see it, yet they knew it was there. They told you its orbit was 50 years, and it was elliptical, and Sirius was at one of the foci. They couldn't see it. They knew it was small, and yet they knew it was one of the heaviest. Digitaria, they said, is the smallest thing there. It is the heaviest star. It consists of a metal called sagala, which is a little brighter than iron and so heavy, the Dogon said this, that all earthly beings combined cannot lift it. In effect, the Dogon said, that star weighs the equivalent of all the seeds or of all the iron on the earth. How'd they know that? So the Dogon obviously knew and presented a theory of Sirius B which fits all presently known scientific facts, and even some which are not known, they present that as well. They know that the star is invisible, but they know it's there nevertheless. They know that the star's orbital period is 50 years, which it really is. They know that Sirius A is not at the center of its orbit, which it is not. They know that Sirius A is at one of the foci of Sirius B's elliptical orbit, which it is. They know that Sirius B is the smallest kind of star, which it is. They know that Sirius B is composed of a special kind of material, from a root meaning strong, and that this material doesn't exist on the earth. They know that this material is heavier than all the iron on the earth, all of which is perfectly true. All this forms the most sacred and most secret tradition known to the Dogon, the basis of their religion and of their lives. Connected with all this are statements they make about the existence of a third star in the Sirius system, which they call the Imaya star, which in comparing it to Digitaria, they say is four times as light in weight, travels along a greater trajectory in the same direction, and in the same time, 50 years. Now, we haven't discovered that one yet, but they're telling us all about it. Their respective positions are such that the angle of their radii is at right angles. This last star has a satellite, indicating that the Dogon appreciate that bodies other than stars are satellites of stars. Abimael itself, they say it is the son of woman, a little son. In fact, it is accompanied by a satellite which is called the Star of Woman, or goeth there as the guide of Emiah. Around the astronomical facts of this extraordinary system, the Dogon have a complicated system of mythology. They have a calendar built on Sirius. I want to take you to something. Now, they claim that their knowledge came from Nomo, which is a collective name for the great culture hero and founder of civilization who came from the Sirius system to set up society here on Earth. The landing of Nomo on our Earth is called the Day of the Fish. Our solar system, they teach, is called the placenta of Oga the fox, who is impure. And our own planet Earth, they teach, is significantly the place where Ogo's umbilical cord was attached to his placenta and recalls his first descent. In other words, the Earth is where Ogo plugged in, as it were, to this system of planets. Now, what Ogo the fox seems to represent is evil. And it comes as a shock to realize that Ogo, the outcast, was cast out. And he corrupted this earth. And Nomo came. In order to atone for our impurity, it is said over and over by the Dogon that the Nomo dies and is resurrected, acting as a sacrifice for us to purify and cleanse the earth. The parallels with Christ are extraordinary, even extending to Nomo being crucified on a tree and forming a Eucharistic meal for humanity and then being resurrected. And we are told that Nomo will come again. A certain star in the sky will appear once more, they say, and will be the testament to the Nomo's resurrection. Hey, this is down the jungle. Where did the Dogon get their knowledge of this invisible star? You interested in this? I mean, this beats eels, an ace in the deck. So I'm going to get to the ace. Wouldn't it be awful to be a Christian? Go into a monastery and smile and look happy and do nothing and say, God loves me, and never learn anything else the rest of your life. I mean, heaven's going to be so dull if the product of most Christianity is always going to get there. I'd rather go to hell and try to get out. It's more exciting. That fascinates me. How do they know that? An invisible star! You suppose somebody told them? Huh? Now, you remember about Sirius? The Greeks changed him into a dog, you know. But he is part of that constellation. The Gemini, the twins, that convey the message of the righteous judge and the redeemer who accomplished the purpose, whose foot crushes not the hare, but that evil serpent which is Satan, and the message of the two-natured, two-double role of the glorious one is taught in Canis Major and Canis Minor. Both of them. The small dog, which is a distortion, is him coming in his role as the one who accomplished the redeeming work. The big dog. Sirius means prince or leader. What if heaven is somewhere around this territory? One of them. Paul got up to the third heaven, you know. To me, some people think heaven is some gaseous sphere out there where Christians float around. I hope that's what they get. I mean, that would make heaven for me to have these bland Christians full of hot air, floating around in ethereal heaven, playing their harps to each other and saying, "How beautiful you are." You think God's going to put us through the kind of training He's put us through to float around on a cloud? Do you realize I got eternity to explore this whole thing? Cyrus the prince. And there's some hidden star that was the beginning of creation. That's what the Dogons say. Who are these doggone people? Got me doggone upset. You understand this? You want to know where the doggone people got this message? You're not going to find out tonight. I'm going home. Now, I got to finish the Zodiac. You'll be watching tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. We are live at 8 o'clock. Might even get onto some more of the doggone people, but I'm heading toward the pyramid. I want to tell you something. These doggone people, some of their... What if I just give you a hint? Their ancestors passed by the pyramid. Good night, everybody.